Oh shoot, you know what I didn't check before I started recording though? My record level, but it's fine. I'm just gonna
It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Alright, I'm just scared. Also, I apologize in advance for any noises that might be in the background. Something will be edited to hopefully reduce that.
Someone will be editing this.
Yes, someone will be editing
it. It may not be. Yeah, there's a lot happening today.
Yeah, I'm currently renovating my room. And so I don't have a space of my own, and I'm in an open area that's in my basement, and so all the noises from upstairs just are so much louder than my room. And I made sure everyone knew that I was recording, but we'll see how it goes, because my family's really loud. No offense, Dad, because I know he's gonna listen to this. No offense, Papa.
I promise I'm listening. You. I'm just eating my soup.
No, it's okay. Eat your soup, girl. Gorgeous, gorgeous girls love soup. Soup True. Girls are the best girls.
A bit a backstory of why I sound like shit, and I sound like I feel like shit. It's because I do. And
I'm sorry. That's not funny. It's not
no,
funny.
It is. It's fucking hilarious. I'm funny, Addie. It's okay to laugh.
You are very funny. Continue.
So, I feel like fucking ass, and...
You might hear my mom coughing. I'm so sorry. Continue.
It's okay.
My mom's, like, hacking up along upstairs, and I see my little recording thing, like,
going up.
Yeah. It's I'm okay. Sorry.
I'll be able to edit it out. So, basically, I've been... Oh, wait. Hold on. Backtrack when I told you about the career opportunities, but I wasn't sure, like,
oh,
what was
yes,
going
yes,
on.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
So, Addie already knows, like, everything about this, but basically, as I've said, I think I said it a couple months ago, I was a theater director, and then I got fired, and it was a really long story, and horrible and terrible, and I applied for this other theater just to be a volunteer, but I finally got in to the theater because the holidays kind of just fucked everyone over and COVID's just been a mess. So I finally got in as a volunteer, and I think I've been there since Wednesday. That was my tour, was on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, I started helping out. But then Justin got pneumonia, and then he's starting to feel better. But as soon as he started to feel better, I got sick. Neither of us have COVID. We both took COVID tests. They were both negative. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Also, my nose piercing is insanely infected. I'm 90% sure. So I don't know if I'm sick because it's infected or if it's not infected and it's just oozing and bleeding because it sucks, or I'm just dying and God is spiting me right now.
Or all of the above.
Also, Mercury retrograde started yesterday. Addie and I were talking about that, and I'm just so hateful at Mercury right now because it's just all bad.
Yesterday was just not the day for either of us.
No.
No, but it was nobody's day yesterday.
Like, everybody Addie and I knew was just in a shit mood or feeling like shit. And yeah, so that's where we're at. But I don't know. I'm excited to be at the theater. It's not a paying position yet, but from what I understand, there's a chance that I will be directing again. And when that happens, I'll, like, get a stipend for every show, I believe. But I have to, like, work my way up. And train for the position because it's a huge theater and it's going to be super overwhelming. So they want to make sure I'm not going to be too overwhelmed.
But which is good.
Yeah.
That they require that, you know.
Yep. But yeah, that's my updates, I think.
That's awesome. I'm so excited for you. When you first told me the news, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. This is like your dream unfolding before your eyes. And I'm just really excited for you because I know that this is something that you really love to do. And
I appreciate you.
It's always great doing things that you love. I appreciate you too. Oatmeal is currently, we had to put my mattress in the living room here. And so he's been climbing it. And so right now he's climbing it. And he took a nap on it earlier. And he looks like he's about to knock over some stuff.
Oh, also another update. Addie was supposed to be here this week. Oh, did you? Oh, isn't it your brother's birthday today?
Oh, yeah. Today is my brother's birthday.
Cool. So Addie was supposed to be here this week. Happy birthday. I know he doesn't listen.
No, he does not.
Anyway, so Addie was supposed to come this week. And then we realized I mean, we don't do anything anyway, but with the fact that, like, Justin works and shit, and then Addie's
I wasn't able to get a COVID test.
Yeah. There's no COVID test available in literally anywhere. I have the rapid test, luckily, because New Hampshire does the, they have a program where they'll just send you free rapid tests. If you put your address in, they send you 4 tests. So, luckily, like,
Which I was able to get.
Yeah. Which I'm going to be sending you a box of 2 tests for school. So that way, when the Bob's Burgers movie comes out, you can take a test before we...
And then we can go see Bob Burgers.
And we can go see Bob Burgers. what was I say? Oh, yeah. So basically, just because of Omicron...
is fucking everybody up the ass right now.
Literally. And the COVID rate in both of our counties is 1 in 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it just didn't make...
No.
It wasn't...
And then logical. Justin ended up getting pneumonia.
Yeah, Justin got pneumonia. You're... Now I'm sick. Yeah, it's all bad.
It just
right
worked... It worked out that... I mean, it's unfortunate I didn't get to see you because I really, 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 really wanted to come and see you. But it was for the better because... Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have, it just, like, wouldn't have been super, what's the word I'm looking for? Entertaining? Not entertaining, I mean, we're always entertaining.
It's not something we would have enjoyed because we would have been so anxious about COVID. Because we wouldn't have been able to go anywhere, which is fine because we don't do anything anyway, but just in case.
Yeah.
Like, I won't even go to the grocery store anymore.
Right. And you would have been anxious and I would have been anxious as well about, like, me not... having been able to be tested, even though I'm like 99.9% sure I don't have COVID because I haven't left my house in like the past 2 weeks, but you never know. So we're planning for, we're shooting for spring break, and then also Bob Burger movie comes out in May.
Bob Burger movie.
Boo Burger.
Boo Burger.
I was talking to Audrey earlier this week about how like I'm excited to like be in a campus environment again because I haven't lived on campus since my first year of college, which was back in 2017, 2018. So I haven't been in a dorm since then. And I commuted basically. I just got another spam call. That's what, 3 in the past hour?
Yeah.
In the past 30 minutes. What the hell? What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I haven't. And even when I was going to college, like after that, I was commuting. So. Like, I was living off campus, but not, like, on the dorm. I wasn't really on campus that often anyway. So it'll be cool to, like, be back in that immersive environment. But it's also terrifying because that means that COVID rate is the higher chance of me getting COVID.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is inevitable at this point.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I feel like I feel like there's 1% of the population that hasn't gotten it.
Yeah. And we're part of that, like,
1%. Literally.
Like, it's, like, kind of a flex, but also, like, it's terrifying because it's just, like, oh, like, it's just basically a waiting game at this point. Like, when am I going to get it?
Hold on. I have a funny meme. I just want to finish eating my soup.
Eat the soup all the way down. Eat the soup all the way down. Slurp, slurp, slurp some soup and some rice all the way down.
So I saw this meme and it was like COVID being around for 2 years and not having it yet is like when you were playing dodgeball in middle school and you were always the one in the back of the line and all the kids in the front line got tagged out.
Yeah. That's definitely what it feels like. It's just like, oh wait, when am I gonna get pegged?
Seriously.
Not in the good way either.
Stop.
Okay. Anyway.
Moving on. I'm feeling, like, violently sweaty.
That's me every single week. Now you know what it's like to be me, because that's how I feel.
Can I go get a shirt?
Yeah, go get a shirt. Why would I be mad about that?
I don't know. That's so annoying.
It'll give me time with our listeners. Private time. Private speaking time. Hey, everyone. Audrey's not here, so you know what that means. It's time for me to ramble for 3 minutes. Did you know that your brain is made of mush? Just kidding. You probably aren't intelligent individuals. Ahaha. This feels awkward. This feels like a conversation where, like, you're talking about things and nobody's, like, really listening and you could tell that they want to walk away, but you're still talking, so they don't, out of consideration, but also they want you to shut the fuck up. You guys ever been in a conversation like that? Super awkward. It's not fun. It happens to me a lot, because sometimes I just talk way too much. Maybe it's a good thing that I do podcasts, because that's the whole point of them. So I can talk as much as I want, and I don't have to look anybody in the eye, except for Audrey, but she doesn't leave me hanging in conversations. Oh my god, she's back! Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
What were you saying?
I was just talking about things and stuff, you know?
Okay.
Paisley, come on up.
Paisley! Oh my god, Paisley, get on the mic. Oh my god, I know she's holding government secrets in that little brain of hers. Her brain is 90% government secrets, 10% fart timings.
Paisley.
Her little slurp got on the mic. Please leave that in. I'm sure someone will be able to decipher that one day, and it'll be a government secret. I love her.
I love her, too. Well, I have a shirt on. Well, here's the thing, because I've literally not been wearing a shirt all day, and so I had that.
Mm-hmm.
It's either I'm wearing a bra or a sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, I need to have the decency to put a shirt on, only because I don't have bras that are not 1,000 years old and worn out, so my boob mm-hmm. always falls out without fail. Mm-hmm.
Your singular boob, the one boob in the middle of your chest?
No, always my right one.
Oh, okay.
In this bra specifically, I don't know if it's just because, like, because I sleep with my bra on, so I don't know mm-hmm. if it's because I, like, sleep on my right side, so it got worn out a little faster, I don't know, but, yeah.
Yeah.
So I am constantly having to adjust it, because my boobie falls out.
Mm-hmm. It's trying to escape.
And I know you don't care, but I didn't want to flash you and catch you off guard when you're talking about your case, so.
Aw, thank you. Thank you so much. That's so considerate.
Also, I want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so scared of getting sued or copyrighted, and I didn't realize that. I don't think it would happen, but it makes me extremely nervous. So, the Rodney Alcala case, do you remember when I did that? That was, like, my 5th episode.
Sure, yes, maybe, yes.
So, that episode, I used a snippet from, like, a TV show from the 70s that he was on. And I'm so scared of getting copyrighted. So,
right.
I'm going to delete it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to upload it as a Patreon only.
Okay.
Because I do not want to get sued
yeah.
for, like, claiming to own it.
Yeah.
And if I...
Yeah.
Yeah, and whatever. So, that's going on Patreon, and I will recover that episode later if that's something you guys want. Probably not for another year, but I will recover it. Maybe on the anniversary of his death,
mm-hmm.
we can celebrate, and I'll cover it again on the day of his death.
Sounds good.
Sweet.
Should we jump into it, what we're doing today?
Yeah, I'm going to have to edit so much of this beginning part out.
That's okay. This is like normal for us now.
I know.
It's like 20 minutes in and then we start the podcast. So I believe we're going to try to make this a two-part episode because I started writing about this case and then quickly realized that I really liked it, and then I wrote like 7 pages of notes. So,
which, by the way, tell them how many pages you usually have.
Okay, yeah, I usually have like between 3 and 4 pages, like on a good day. So, yeah. Lizzie Halliday was only 2 pages, and then 27 Club was like 3.5. So, normally not that long, and the longest one I've done before this was the shooting of Stanford White with
yes.
the whole MSG thing, and that was...
I still think of the food additive when you say MSG.
Oh, sorry. I feel like normal people would too. Madison Square Garden. Yeah, so that one was 5 pages, and that one I spent like 3 days on. And then today I was like, well, yesterday and today, I spent a lot of time doing this one, and it came out to, like, 7 pages. But that's, like, with spaces, but all the other ones also have spaces, so, like, it doesn't really count. But, yeah. So this is going to be a two-part episode. Like, between each of my, like, paragraphs or, like, bullets and stuff, I add an extra space so that way...
Double enter it?
Yeah, so that way I'm able to, like, break up.
Decipher. I understand.
Yeah. Because brain no work. Brain only no read. Today, I'm going to be covering the hijacking of a plane by D.B. Cooper.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Wait! You didn't tell me about this! But...
No, I didn't.
You... Oh my god! No, okay, sorry. I fucking love this case, because...
Okay, amazing.
And that's why we drink covered it. And...
Oh, okay.
I wanted to cover it. But
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I just fucking love this case so much.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Okay, good. I figured that you probably knew about it because it's pretty popular.
I just heard about it like maybe a month ago.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You said Mike recommended this to you, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike. Mike reached out to me. No, it's okay. You're good. I'm so glad that you're so excited about it because, like, oh my god. As I was reading about it, I was like, this is so interesting. But yeah, I was, I tweeted something on Twitter and he mentioned D.B. Cooper, and then someone who runs, like, an entire podcast dedicated to D.B. Cooper commented as well and said that it was a good case, and I was like, okay, this person has an entire podcast.
Wait, commented on our podcast Twitter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess because Mike, like, mentioned it and maybe they were, like, going through, like, they have a filter for, like, anything related to D.B. Cooper.
That makes sense.
I didn't listen to their podcast. Maybe I should have, and maybe I will for next week's episode to add on. But, yeah, I used, like, information from the Wikipedia, and the FBI has a whole page about it, mm-hmm. and BuzzFeed Unsolved also covered it, so I have, like, information from that in here as well. But, yeah.
Is that it? I hate him. Sorry, continue. Justin came in and interrupted. No, he came in, whispered the mad pooper, and then left.
What the hell? We're trying to do something here. We're almost 24 minutes into this. We just want... Oh, my God. Anyway, sorry. Oh. Man, just so heated. I'm going to text him and be like, can you stop, please? Your girlfriend and I are trying to do something. All right. Anyway, continuing forward. So, starting off with just some... background, or I guess information about the actual hijacking. So on November 24th, the day before Thanksgiving in 1971, a Boeing 727 airplane going from Portland to Seattle was hijacked by an unidentified man who we know as D.B. Cooper. We'll find out later that this wasn't his name or even the name that he gave to the people when he was buying his ticket. When he was buying his ticket, he identified himself as Dan Cooper, but even that probably wasn't his real name. Because why would you use your real name when you're hijacking a plane? That'd be kind of stupid. So, he looked to be about in his mid-40s. He wore a black suit with a white shirt and a black tie, as well as a long black trench coat and brown shoes. He was carrying a black briefcase, and his demeanor was said to be calm and reserved, and he was described as a quiet man. The flight left from Portland at around 2:50, and that's when it was scheduled to take off. And the plane was only, like, the flight wasn't all the way full. Mm-hmm. I think there was, like, 30-something passengers there.
Yep.
And he was sitting in 18C, and he ordered a bourbon and soda, which is a detail that all of the sources mention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of an important detail. At first, I didn't think it was, but as I read on it, like, I don't know. And apparently, also, he was, like, a chain smoker.
Yep. And I believe you could smoke on planes back then, right?
Yeah. You could still smoke on planes then. So, once the plane was in the air, Cooper passed a note to a flight attendant named Florence Schaffner, who was seated in a jump seat near him. She took the note and put it in her purse without looking at it, because at the time, men would usually, like, put their number down or stuff, you know.
Be gross,
and,
as men do.
Yeah, be gross. And so then he leaned over and he whispered to her, "Ma'am, you better look at that note. I have a bomb." And the note mentioned that he had a bomb and directed the stewardess to sit next to him. And I think it was, like, in the BuzzFeed Unsolved one, like, they had, like, a quote of, like, what the note said, but... I was reading, like, in the Wikipedia, they didn't mention what the quote was because, like, he took the note back after he had given it to her. So I don't really know exactly what it said, but it was along the lines of, like, I got a bomb. I'm going to use it if you don't obey me. So she sat next to him, and he opened the briefcase, and there were 8 red cylinders with wires and red insulation and a battery in there, so it looked like a bomb. And he demanded $200,000 in negotiable U.S. currency. Some sources say that he demanded the money to be given to him all in $20 bills. Ralph Himmelsbach, the chief investigator in the D.B. Cooper case, said that when the demands were first received, it was only specified that the money be in negotiable U.S. American currency, denomination not important.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It was a super weirdly specific request, but...
But that's what he does, though.
Yeah, like, there's a couple, like, weird little, like, quirks.
He's quirky, Addy. He's just a quirky turkey.
Yeah, he's just a quiet little guy. He really is a quirky turkey,
because it's the day before Thanksgiving, and there's having the day before Thanksgiving play.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Jocelyn, that's not a harmony.
Harmony's when I sing louder than you. No.
No. Later on we'll find out that the money was given to him all in $20 bills. He also demanded for 4 parachutes, 2 primary and 2 reserve, and a fuel truck on standby in Seattle to refuel the plane once it landed. Florence relayed all of the demands back to the pilot, and when she returned, he had put on a pair of sunglasses, which eventually later on was added to the sketch of him, I guess.
Yeah, I was just like, looking at the sketch.
Here's this guy normally. Here's this guy with sunglasses. here he is, yassified.
Yassified. I hate you.
Yassified D.B. Cooper. Okay.
Yeah, so absurd.
Yeah. the captain of the plane was William A. Scott. He relayed the information that Florence gave him and told Seattle Tacoma Air Traffic Control, who then notified the authorities. The other passengers were told that there's going to be a delay due to mechanical difficulties because they didn't want people to freak out. Donald Donald, the president of Northwest Orient, which was the airline that the ticket, you know, told the staff to cooperate with the hijacker. The plane continued to circle around Puget Sound and in order to give authorities enough time to get the ransom and the parachutes and the fuel truck and stuff. Another flight attendant named Tina Mucklow said that Cooper seemed to be familiar with the area. Florence Schaffner recalled that he was calm and well-spoken. He didn't have the characteristics of other hijackers at the time, which I guess they were, like, a little bit more aggressive and, like, you're gonna get me here now.
Demanding.
He was kind of just like, yeah, he was, like, calm and like, hey, if you could, like, get me $200,000 and 4 parachutes, that would be great. But also, if not, I'm gonna blow this shit, up right here, right now. Also, he's wearing sunglasses, so you know he's chilled the fuck out.
Man
anyway.
Black who? I'm sorry.
He's the mind erase thing. Tina stated that he wasn't nervous. He seemed rather nice. Mm-hmm. He was never cruel or nasty. He was thoughtful and calm all the time. Which, if you're going to have someone hijack a plane, that's who you want. Like, of course you don't want to be on a plane that's being hijacked, but if you are going to be a hijacker on a plane, like, the least you could do is, like, be chill. Because at the end of the day, it seems like he just wanted his money and to bounce. Like, that's it. He didn't care about, like, causing anyone else harm. He was just like, I need this money and these parachutes.
It was all a big threat to him.
Give them to me. Yeah.
Continue. I just had something small to add.
I was also reading that apparently, like, I think it was Tina, like, asked him, like, so what is it that you have? Do you have something against, like, the airline? He was like, no, I don't have a grudge against the airline. I just have a grudge.
Yeah. No, I think it was Tina that said that.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say is, like you said, it's ideal that they're calm in that situation. Also because that the fact that it's easier to be calm and, like, not get, obviously your mind's gonna be all flustered and shit if the plane's being hijacked, But it's probably easier to keep your cool if the other person is not losing their shit.
Yeah. He ordered another bourbon soda, paid his drink tab, and even offered to give Tina the change. And apparently he also offered to get meals for the flight crew.
What the fuck?
He said, here's this for your troubles.
But then add it back on to the 200. Was it 20 grand or 200?
It was 200 grand.
Okay, so he's like, yeah, I'll pay for all of your food and drinks, but then add it on to my the amount that I'm stealing. So make it like,
yeah,
$200,100.
Yeah.
That's not actually what happened. I'm just being annoying.
Being hilarious.
Teehee.
So the FBI got the money for Cooper from several banks, all in $20, mm-hmm. as it was mentioned earlier. And most of the serial numbers on the bills started with the letter L, which meant that they were from the Federal Bank Reserve of San Francisco. Oh. And this is going to be important later on when mm-hmm. we talk about like evidence and stuff. He was also issued, he was offered military issue parachutes, but he didn't want them and preferred civilian chutes and those were brought from a local skydiving school. I was also reading that the school was technically closed, but they were able to still buy the parachutes off of them. So around 5:30, Cooper was informed that his demands were in place, and about 10 minutes later, the plane landed in Seattle. He instructed the pilot to go to an isolated area that was brightly lit and to close all the window shades. He also demanded that the person who was to bring his ransom and the parachutes come alone. A man named Al Lee, the operations manager for the airline, was the one to deliver the goods. He handed them to Tina Mucklow, and once the ransom was delivered, Cooper allowed all the passengers, Florence Schaffner, and a flight attendant named Alice Hancock to get off the plane. Remember earlier how we said that he also wanted a truck to be brought to refuel the plane?
Yes.
So the vapor lock, I wrote here, yeah, so the vapor lock on that bitch was broken. So they had to bring in another truck in order to refuel it, which caused more delays. And Cooper was obviously not happy about this, and so he wrote another note that said, let's get this show on the road.
What the fuck?
And then I said, this guy needs a pen pal or something, because he sure does like to write notes.
Seriously.
Originally, the flight crew didn't know what Cooper had planned after they landed in Seattle, but because he asked for parachutes, they expected him to be jumping from the plane at some point. And because he asked for 4 parachutes, they also assumed that he was going to be taking someone hostage and, like, convincing someone to jump with him.
Yep.
He told them to take a course towards Mexico City at the lowest airspeed possible, about 115 miles an hour, and no higher than 10,000 feet. He also asked that the landing gear stay deployed and the wing flaps be lowered by 15 degrees and the cabin stays unpressurized. This was so that way when he opened the door to jump, there wouldn't be like a huge gust of wind.
Right.
The first officer, William J. Radicats, I don't know how to pronounce that name.
Okay.
Told Cooper that the plane would need to be refueled if it was going to travel the distance necessary to complete the trip, so they agreed to stop and refuel in Reno. Cooper also wanted to take off with the rear exit door open and the staircase still attached, but the airline objected because it was unsafe. But Cooper said he was just going to lower it again once they were in the air. He was like, nah, it's fine, it's safe, but all right, fine.
Yeah, as if he fucking knows anything about being a pilot, but okay.
Yeah. But it is interesting, though, like, that he knew everything that was necessary in order for
him. He's very well educated.
Right. Like, it's interesting how he knew all the specific details that the plane needed in order for him to do the jump and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. There's, like, just, like, these weird little details that are, like, does this guy know what he's talking about, or is he just bullshitting us? Like,
Yes.
It's just interesting. Yes, both and. The plane left Seattle at around 7:40 with Cooper and a limited flight crew on board. The police tried to follow the plane, but the jets used were F-106 fighter jets, which were built to travel at high speeds. An Air National Guard Lockheed T-33 was also used to try to follow the plane after one of the jets turned back, but by the time that it caught up, Cooper had already jumped.
Yeah, because the other planes were too fast, right? Like, they weren't slow enough.
Yeah. And it just was, like, pointless, basically.
That's so fucking funny to me. I don't know why.
That they were too fast.
This whole case is funny to me because, like, no one got hurt.
Yeah.
So I feel like I can definitely laugh at it without...
Like, oh, 100%. And that's what I told you earlier. I was like, there's going to be a lot of room for us to, like, make jokes in this. Because, like, it's just, like, funny. I don't know. Like, it's interesting and hilarious and just, like, so weird. Like, all of these details about what happened and, like, how he was. Like, the fact that he passed multiple notes instead of just, like, saying... Like, even when there was nobody on the plane, he was, like, passing notes.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, do this.
Did you get... I know Tina said some, like, really sarcastic shit to him at one point.
Oh, no, I didn't get that.
I need to find it. Hold on.
Yeah, please do.
I can't remember. I can't find it either. Never mind, then.
It's okay.
So you were saying, like, before he jumped, he said something.
Right.
Okay.
So... Before he jumped, he asked Mucklow to show him how to open the door to the staircase. And after she showed him, he asked her to go in the cockpit with the rest of the crew. And at the time, of course, it was the 70s, so there weren't any cameras or anything, but there wasn't even a peephole in the door, so the crew had no idea what he was doing in the cabin. Okay. But I think they all assumed they knew that he was going to jump. They just didn't know where or anything. So, at around 8 o'clock, a light went off in the cockpit indicating that a door was opened. Captain Scott asked Cooper over the intercom if there was anything he could do for him, and Cooper replied angrily with a no.
No.
No. I could do it by myself.
I could do it myself. Not a phase, Mom.
Hijacking planes is my passion, Mom. There's nothing you could do about it. Rips off sunglasses. Where was it? Okay. He replied angrily with a no, and then that was the last that anyone had heard from him.
Dun, dun, dun. Ever again.
Ever again. About 20 minutes later, the nose of the plane dipped, and then the tail of the plane dipped in order to, like, correct it and level it back out. Scott made a note of when the plane dipped, which was about 25 miles north of Portland, and they assumed that this was around the area where he jumped, but they didn't confirm this because they didn't want to disobey him by leaving the cockpit. So they didn't actually know if that was exactly when he jumped, but they could assume that that probably was around the time because they couldn't actually see him or anything. So at around 10:15, the plane landed in Reno with the stairs, the air stairs still deployed.
Love that.
I don't know why I think that's so funny, but like, can you imagine a plane just coming landing in and landing
with the stairs down?
Oh my god. 10:15, plane landed in Reno. I don't know why I keep saying plan landed. That's not a word.
Because brain don't work, I guess.
Brain. I have rock for a brain. Scott called out over the intercom, and with no reply, he opened the cockpit doors to an empty cabin. The plane was surrounded by the authorities, including FBI, Reno police, state troopers, and sheriff's deputies. They weren't completely sure if Cooper was still on the plane or not, so they did an armed search that confirmed he had jumped off the plane. Or that he wasn't there. The only belongings that were left on the plane was his black JCPenney clip-on tie and two of the parachutes.
Of course, there was a fucking clip-on tie.
Yeah. In the BuzzFeed Unsolved episode, they, like, go on this whole little, like, bit on, like, how, like, they thought he was so cool before with his glasses and his, like, calm demeanor, and then they find out he was wearing a clip-on tie.
No, for real, though.
It was just really funny. You should watch that.
I will.
It's only, like, 20 minutes, so it's interesting.
Them. I'll definitely watch it.
So, going into a little bit of, like, the investigation of it, the FBI agents found about 66 unidentified fingerprints on the plane. And interviews from witnesses in Portland, Seattle, and Reno were enough to compile a series of sketches. They began questioning possible suspects and even questioned a man from Oregon named D.B. Cooper in the off chance that the hijacker used his real name. He was ruled out as a suspect, but a local reporter confused the suspect's name with the name Dan Cooper, which is the one he had used. And then mm-hmm. another reporter also published an article using the name D.B. Cooper. And then a bunch of other media sources started doing that. And then D.B. Cooper ended up becoming the pseudonym for the hijacker.
Okay.
The area where Cooper supposedly landed was searched, but it was hard to estimate exactly where he would have dropped.
Mm-hmm.
There were aspects such as environmental factors and plane speed that made the landing harder to pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And another aspect was the amount of time he was free-falling for. They don't know when he opened the parachute, if it even opened at all. And that's the true. Fighter pilots didn't see him jump out of the plane or see a parachute open. But that night, there was limited visibility, and he was wearing all black, so he definitely could have gone unnoticed. Even the radar didn't pick anything up.
Right.
And another thing to note, I mentioned this later on, too, but, like, it was also, like, a rainstorm. So, like...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Odds of them seeing him is very slim. Also, odds of him even seeing where he was going is very slim. So, yeah. It was just not a good night to be jumping out of a plane. They even did a recreation of the jump with a 200-pound sled to try to recreate the whole, like, plane tail dip thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this experiment concluded that he probably jumped out at around 8:13. And at the time, the plane was flying through a rainstorm by the Lewis River near southwest Washington.
Okay. So the plane did dip when they pushed that sled out the door?
Yes, I would assume so.
Because it concluded.
Because of that weight, yeah.
Okay.
Because he's, like, jumping off, and so, like, that would
shift.
Cause some sort of... Yeah, like, when you get out of a car, like, your car kind of, like, bounces around. That's what I imagine the suspension is kind of almost, happening.
Yeah.
Okay. So when they did that with a 200-pound sled, they were, like, I guess able to use math and, like, try to figure out when the time was approximately that he jumped based off of that.
Okay.
But then that means that, like, okay, so... What I don't get, unless the time that I was reading about, like, when the doors open was wrong, like, that would mean that he, like, which I don't know how long it's supposed to take you to jump out of a plane, but I would not guess that, like, 20 minutes is the amount of time that you're just standing there with the door open, like, waiting to jump off of a plane.
Yeah, but also, if you're jumping out of a moving plane and you know people are looking for you, like, you'd have a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, like, no one... to this day really understands what the fuck was going through his head. Like, yeah. He could have done that to throw everyone off, or
yeah,
he could have just been terrified.
Right.
So,
because I'm sure jumping out of a plane and skydiving in a rainstorm is not the calmest.
Exactly, and it was fucking raining, I think. Forgot about that.
The initial area that was searched was south of Mount St. Helen, a few miles southeast of Ariel, Washington, near a lake called Lake Merwin.
Okay.
They also searched in the terrain north and south of the lake, and they searched an area near the mountains on foot and through helicopter. They went door to door to farmhouses in the area, and they had patrol boats to look in the lake. There was no evidence of the parachute or Cooper's landing in any of the terrain that they searched. There was also an aerial search done along the flight path of the hijacking, where there was debris that looked similar to the canopy of a parachute, but it was ruled out from being related to the hijacking.
Okay.
More searches were done in March and April of 1972, where FBI agents, 200 armed soldiers, Air Force personnel, National Guardsmen, and civilians combed the area yet again, looking for any sign of Cooper.
Wow.
A submarine was used to look in Lake Merwin. So a lot of people going out trying to find this man. Like, he's very much wanted. Two women found a skeleton in an abandoned structure in Clark County, which was one of the counties that they were kind of focusing their search on.
Mm-hmm.
And the remains were not identified as Cooper. They were actually Barbara Ann Derry, who was a teenager who was abducted and murdered a few weeks before the search happened.
Oh, great.
And there was nothing that they could find related to the hijacking. I wonder if they hadn't gone searching for Cooper, if they would have even found her. Because, like, that's the middle of the mountains. I imagine this area to be, like, not very civilized.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm just kind of going off a little bit here, but there's this Hulu documentary that just came out a couple months ago, I think in November, about this guy who murdered his wife in... I think it was the Rocky Mountains. I don't remember where it was, mm-hmm. but basically it was in this place that was, like, completely you weren't able to get to it. And he was saying, like, she fell, but she was disabled and she couldn't have climbed there on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's one of those things, like, you would have had to know about it beforehand. You wouldn't have been able to find it. So,
yeah,
all the authorities were like, if he didn't call us and tell her that she fell, her body never would have been found.
Wow.
It's highly possible they wouldn't have found her because there are a lot of, like, think about how many missing people there are that were probably, unfortunately, murder victims, or how many people have admitted to murdering people and burying them somewhere and they still haven't been found, like John Wayne Gacy. So, yeah, that sucks. I'm glad they found her, though. It just sucks that she got murdered.
Yeah. Later on in the investigation, there were developments that pointed at the landing zone being further south / southeast from the initial site that they looked at.
Okay.
Captain Scott's flight path was a little more east than originally assumed because he was flying the plane manually to abide by Cooper's requests. But I think they also mentioned this in the BuzzFeed Unsolved video that he made a point to, like, tell authorities that, like, he chose the flight path and not Cooper. Cooper just cared about, like, being dropped off somewhere near Mexico City or, like, some sort of destination. But he chose a flight path in order to, like, I think preserve fuel or something. A pilot for Continental Airlines named Tom Bowen was flying about 4 minutes behind the hijacked plane and said that the wind directions could have also changed where the drop zone was by as much as 80 degrees, which is a lot.
I was just about to ask that.
Mm-hmm. And this information would point that Cooper might have landed closer to the Washougal River, which is an important point for next time.
Uh-huh.
FBI agent Ralph Himmelsbach said, "I have to confess, if I were going to look for Cooper, I would head for the Washougal." The area has been scoured by private groups and no evidence has been found. The eruption of Mount St. Helens could have also destroyed any evidence that might have been left.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's all I have for part one.
Addie. I figure
that's a good place to stop. Okay. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Like I said, I love this case. I've only listened to, like, I only know as much as, and that's why we drink covered. So it was a lot that you covered that I had no clue about. Like, I didn't know. I mean, maybe they covered it and I just didn't really, like, realize. But that was so detailed and in-depth. So I'm assuming you're going to do theories for next week?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I have a section on kind of, like, the evidence and, like, speculation from the FBI. And then it goes into the possible suspects and why they were ruled out and all that stuff. But it's so interesting, man. Like, there's so many, like, cool, like, in the next part, there's, like, some science-y aspects that, like, make it super interesting, like, looking into this and looking into what could have happened, what definitely couldn't have happened, and some, like, questions about everything. Because, like, it seemed like the more, any evidence that they got actually led to, like, more questions being asked than answers.
Yeah.
And so there's just, like, so much mystery behind this guy. Because, like, if he did land, you would have found something. Like, there's no way that he just, like, escaped without a trace. Like, there, it's just crazy. But, like,
I mean, it is possible.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. It's just crazy. That,
or he got, like, I mean, obviously this is going to be all in the theories. He could have gotten, like, eaten by an animal or something, like, bones and
that's
all.
That's true. But wouldn't you find something? Like, they had hundreds of people looking for his remains, granted, in, like, possibly the wrong area. But there have been so many people in the past 40 years looking into this case. You would think someone would find something.
What forest was he estimated to be?
Second time or the first time? Because there was two.
Either.
Washougal River, around the Washougal River, was, like, where Himmelsbach said that he would look.
Okay, so, theory, which I could say for next week. Because you know how pigs will legitimately eat anything and everything? I mean, there are other animals that do too, but I'm just using pigs as an example because there's no, like, established population of the invasive species website says feral swine. There's no established population in Washington, but there have been cases where they've been reported being seen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where it's like not common, but if they're traveling or like moving around or whatever, they can
eat him.
Yeah. Well, because if the parachute didn't eject the way it was supposed to, mm-hmm. or whatever,
mm-hmm. that boy be dead on impact. Neck snapped. Free meal for the swine.
Wait, Montana and Washington are the only Northwest states without significant infestations of wild pigs. So, let's ignore everything that I just said. Let's actually just not even discuss that.
They don't have the swine.
Literally, like...
I love that those are the only two states that do not have an infestation of swine. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm going to go visit Oregon. Oh, you better watch out for the rabid swine that tear through the cities. Careful, you might get eaten by some feral hogs.
Listen.
Oh, you're going to Northern California? Definitely keep an eye out for those pigs. But
if you're going to Washington or Montana, you're fine.
You're good. You're good.
Oh my god.
Prance around all you want. No feral hogs there.
I hate it.
That's so funny.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, that's all I have for this week. Again, this is going to be a two-parter, so we'll get into some more of this stuff next week as well. And I think that's it. I don't have anything else to add.
Yeah, I'm kind of thrilled because we're going to be like very ahead, hopefully. It's Friday right now, so this goes out tomorrow. We are hoping to be ahead by like at least a week and a half or 2 weeks because I'm supposed to have my research done by Sunday. So
what we're aiming for.
Yeah. And then hopefully,
and even if you don't have your research done, we'll still be ahead by a week.
Yeah.
This is the part two for this.
And we'll be coming out. Yep. So basically what we're going to try to do is at least one of us has research done at a given time.
Yes.
And with Addie going back to school, like I'm going to try really hard and be productive with that. I'm going to try to budget my time really well with the theater and everything.
We're both going to be busy bees coming up soon.
But basically what I would like to do, ideally, if this is something you would like to do, is once we're done research, if we have time, we record.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we just have it. I can edit. We can just be done. So.
Yeah. Sounds good. Should I do the spiel?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to say. Thank you, Mike, for suggesting this, actually.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Because
I love this case.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. It leaves room for... I don't feel bad telling jokes.
Right. We can be it's funny like very, with it.
Yeah. It's very easygoing.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, you can find us on Instagram at Your Worst Nightmare TCP. We post phenomenal memes.
Sometimes
you can also sometimes we don't. Most of the time we do. And you can also reach out to Audrey on there through the DMs, whatever. You can find us on Twitter at NightmareTCP. And I'm usually on there, so if you want to follow us, we're possibly thinking about doing a Spaces thing on there. Haven't really discussed it.
We need you guys to tell us what you want.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah. It would be really cool, but I'm not going to hop on there to have me and Audrey stare at each other for 20 minutes.
I mean, if two people join, that'd be great, but...
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, also one of those things that Addie and I are very much above and beyond people. And if we feel that our above and beyondness isn't being appreciated, we just stop entirely. So,
we just put a lot of thought and effort into things.
We really do.
So,
like, we need input because we'll just do shit without thinking about what everyone else wants because we just think that everyone wants it.
And that might not be the case.
Which is
we have a lot of ideas. So. We have a lot of ideas. So if you like any of the ideas that we talk about, please let us know. And we'd love to hear from you. And you can also email us at yourworstnightmaretcp@gmail.com with any case suggestions. If you just want to say hi, tell me about your pet gerbil. I would love to hear about your pet gerbil. you can reach out to us on there. And we also have a Patreon if you would like to support us financially and help Audrey pay back herself for all of the recording equipment that she bought.
Yeah.
And just help us, you know, in general. You can get some extra stuff there. Usually, sometimes podcasts are released early there by like, you know, however much time.
Well, hopefully now that we're ahead, I'm hoping. My thing is, I get just sporadically sick. So my issue is that...
You do be disabled.
I do be disabled. And so, like last week, I felt so fucking bad that I had to put the episode out Sunday afternoon instead of Saturday night. I was like crying to Addie about it.
I just like to clarify that I told her that it was okay, and I was trying to convince her to take a break, and I told her, I was like, listen, it's okay. Like, I sent out a tweet saying that it was going to be late, because she was like, I don't know if I could do it on time, and I was like, don't worry about it. It's fine. And then she was like, I'm going to get it done. And then I deleted the tweet, and then she was like, I'm actually going to wait till tomorrow. And I was like, thank you. Like, please, take your time to rest.
And somehow our analytics still went up like 25% this week. So thank you guys for bearing with me.
Yeah. Also, I would just... Oh, wait. Really quick. Sorry. Our Patreon is Your Worst Nightmare TCP.
It's patreon.com/yourworstnightmare TCP.
Sorry about that.
You're good.
I would also like to say, if you're listening and you came from my TikTok...
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much.
I was just about to mention that.
I had a random TikTok that I made, like, I just, like, made it and posted it, and it got, like, I think it's at, like, 62,000 likes right now, and, like, over 300,000 views. It, like, randomly blew up, and so I decided to take my, like, 1 second of fame and, like, plug the podcast in, and a couple people were commenting saying that they were gonna listen. So, if you're coming from my TikTok, welcome. This is it.
I'm usually funnier when I'm not sick. So, sorry about that, guys.
You're always funny.
I did want to say one thing because I'm having brain fog, and at this very moment, when I'm editing, it could be completely different. At this very moment, I don't care how much I embarrass myself. So, if you want a glimpse at how socially awkward I am, I was recently on an episode of True Criminals. Basically, it's a podcast where they interview people about real crimes that they've committed. Well, I'm a weenie, and so I've committed the least horrible crimes out of... And they said in the beginning, they were like, her crimes are so precious. And I was like, God damn it. But I listened to it, and I was like, oh, I don't hate myself as much listening to it as I did when I was talking and, like, actually doing the podcast with them.
Mm-hmm.
So Addie still hasn't listened to it, and I said I wasn't going to plug it until after she listened to it, but I also... Part of me doesn't want to be a jackass because my podcast got shouted out, or this podcast got shouted out yesterday when they released the episode, and I was like, well, fuck, if I'm recording today, like, I'm gonna have to. Anyway, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want
to listen to it tonight,
see me humiliate myself, you can listen to True Criminals.
Mm-hmm.
The True Criminals podcast. I'm funny, guys. I'm really funny. I'm also awkward. Please don't come for me. Anyway. Have a good week. Please don't look into the end of
this scene.
Please don't look into the theories and the suspects of this case because that ruins it for us, okay? 90% of the time, actually 100% of the time, every time we do a two-part case, the analytics for it go down like 50% the following week. Like, only half the amount of people will listen to it because you guys look it up. So don't look it up.
I know we please like the instant gratification, but I promise it'll be worth it if you just wait till next week and listen
also, like,
to it. Because
we've already discussed that it's unsolved. So you're not going to find any information.
Yeah, there's really no answers out there, people.
Seriously.
Okay? So let me do all the work. I spent 7 hours today writing page upon page. Please let me just talk about it. Please.
Seriously.
Because my brain is rocks now.
Rock for brain. Anyway.
Rock for brain. Beep boop beep boop beep boop boop boop.
I'm going to go lay in bed and take my insomnia medication.
I'm the one that has to pee this week.
Really?
I'm the one that has to pee. Usually it's you that has to pee.
I peed before this, so.
You're smart.
I
also pee
tea.
Before this, but I drink. Good idea.
Yeah, because my throat's pretty sore, so.
I'm going to eat some food, probably pizza. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Great to see you again. Hope you have a great week.
I love you.
I also love you.
I was talking to them, and I don't know if you're talking to me, but I love you, Addie.
I was talking to them also, but I also love you too.
Oh, okay. Okay, bye.
Bye.